You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. Welcome into a TGIF Friday edition, October 17th, 2025. Here, welcome into hour number two of the big broadcast, 6 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock from the home studios at the intersection of State and Fairchild in downtown Madison. Welcome in, everybody. Glad to have you along. Zommers, let's take a quick look out there on the Sam Davidson street cam outside a beautiful fall afternoon. Hazy sky. It's kind of overcast, a little sun poking through there, but warmer than I thought. So, Ohio State, get it right yet, are in town. And we don't have time. I was going to do a segment on this today with the breaking news. The only question for me with Ohio State, number one team in the country, being in town to take on the Badgers, will Ohio State score 50? 5-0. Will they score 50? What's the over-under? Do you take the over or the under at 50?
I take over.
I take over, too. I'm not wishing it, but I'm just saying it's not going to be pretty. I'm afraid here at Camp Randall, but we'll have the game for you on several of our stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. WRCE, WLAK, and Amory RCE, of course, Richland Center, FHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and on WRPN in Ripon. Kickoff time is right around 2:30 this afternoon on several of our Badger radio networks. Of course, the Brewers. Hope still springs eternal. Must win tonight. Crew down 0-3. Or 3-0, whichever you want to look at it. Out at Chavez Ravine, Dodgers going to try to get the win and the sweep out there in California. So that one starts a little bit later on, 7 o'clock-ish. Let me see. Let me check my facts here. The Friday game, 7:05 is the first pitch local time here in Wisconsin. Pregame show at 7:38 on our Brewers radio network stations as well. Quickly, top story this afternoon from our newsroom, the University of Wisconsin. This comes from channel3000.com, the CBS affiliate in Madison, University of Wisconsin, Platteville. Will be ceasing operations at its Baraboo Sauk County campus effective May 22nd of next year. The decision came after quote-unquote careful consideration and that students, staff, and faculty are supported throughout this transition. Again, UW-Platteville Baraboo closed after the end of next year. We'll continue to follow this into next week, of course. But right now at 9 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock, lighten it up just a bit. I did a uniform change, a costume change during the break. I put my Green Bay Packers, because unlike the Badgers this weekend, I feel good about the Pack joining us via his car, driving throughout Wisconsin, one of the stars and producers of the great new film, No Packers, No Life. Once again, here is Ty Morris. Ty, how are you?
Great, Todd. Happy to be here again.
We are absolutely happy to be here. Zommers and I last saw you at the world premiere of No Packers, No Life at the Majestic Theater, one of the great Marcus Theaters in Waukesha. And not that our 2 cents means a whole lot, but let me tell you, I was blown away by it. I loved it. And I told Craig Benzine, the director, that I think for me, two things. A, whichever one of the Japanese cheer team was in the car at night driving by Lambeau right after he'd gotten to Green Bay, and he looks out and says, I want to live here. And it just, I don't know why, but it just, I was like, I do live here, and I don't think that I look at it through the lens that it should. And to hear him say that, it just got to me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, and there was so much of that as they came. It was just like this wonder, amazement, magic for them. And I think it helps us through that lens, you know, kind of rediscover, you know, how lucky we are where we live as Wisconsinites, you know?
Just remind people that have not heard this before, what the heck's the matter with you? But very quickly, the synopsis: that Ty goes to Japan, meets these Packer fans, this cheer team at an intersection, and ends up discovering this whole new world in Japan. And then you and your buddies bring, what, about 30 of these folks from Japan to Green Bay, to the mecca of football, to Lambeau Field. And it's just enormously moving. One of the things that I haven't asked you yet, Ty, is were you there specifically that time for a separate business? Or what's your connection with Japan beyond the film?
Yeah, I was there for business. I'm there often for business. We manufacture there. We sell products into the Japanese market. I have a joint venture there. Suzuki, who's in the film, is actually one of my business partners. So we do a lot in the health and beauty space, and that's why I was there. But it was actually a day off for us. Mm-hmm. What we called a hanami, where you go and look at the cherry blossoms. You have some drinks. I brought a guitar. We're playing music. We're drinking some whiskey and soda. And we wander down the street to go do some karaoke, go sing some Bon Jovi. And that's where I found these guys. So it was a business trip, but a day off. And the day off rolled into 7 years of making this documentary.
Isn't that how life happens sometimes? The least expected moments, right? Look, the film is fantastic. It's beautiful to look at. It's so meaningful to be able to look at something that we love here in Wisconsin, the Green Bay Packers, and look at it through this lens of this Japanese cheer team, these folks coming here the first time. I know you had an event last night in Mequon with Mason Crosby, who's in the film, incidentally. That's a great, I'm not going to spoil that, but there's a great moment with Mason in there as well that I really liked. But you have an event.
I cried last night again too, Todd. I cried. Yeah. I saw it again. It's beautiful.
So cool. It's so cool.
Mason's such a great dude in that moment. I mean, that's why people have to get to the theater to see it. They're going to cry when they see that.
I agree with that. But you had an event last night in Mequon. You're going to an event tonight in Green Bay and then an event tomorrow in Madison here. Tell us about these events and how people can participate.
Yeah, there's special screening tonight in Green Bay. Only a few tickets left for that. And only a few tickets tomorrow night in Madison. It will feature the film and then Q&A at the end with myself and the director, Craig Benzine. It's going to be a good time. It just, you know, people should throw on their Packer gear, grab a beer, and just come sit and enjoy the ride.
Absolutely. And those few tickets that are left, you can go to nopackersnolife.com. nopackersnolife.com. Had a couple of people like, is it K-N? No. N-O. Nopackersnolife.com. And it could also, and then the show opens up today, right, across many theaters in Southeast Wisconsin, Green Bay, Madison, La Crosse.
Statewide today, yeah.
Statewide. And also, I love this, trolling Bears fans in Gurnee, Illinois. And those tickets can be found at Marcus Theaters. Theaters spelled TheaterS.com. MarcusTheaters.com. Like you said, Ty, it's experiencing this with other people that I think really makes it special.
Yeah, I think that's what it's about. It's about getting into the theater. I mean, as Wisconsinites, celebrating our heritage, who we are, but also just seeing the passion of these people that have come all the way from the other side of the world to experience our world, and sitting in the theater with other Wisconsinites, experiencing that. I mean, it's one of the best times I've ever had in my life. It's so much laughing, some crying, but it's such a blast. So I just recommend the best way to see this is to get to a Marcus Theater and just hang out.
Yeah, I totally agree. We saw, for those out there that saw last year the Just a Bit Outside, the Brewers movie, you know what we mean, because when people are cheering together, yelling together, you cannot get that when you're sitting at home alone, you know, which is most of Todd's life. But no, get out and enjoy it with people. Get out and zombers.
Yeah, there's so much camaraderie. I mean, everybody's right. Laughing in the theater. We just did it last night.
Right.
It's great.
Zombers?
Yeah, especially because it's a movie about community and it portrays it so well. And watching it with everybody really brings you into that and reminds us that we are all, you know, wearing green and gold. We're all Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a unifying film. And the other part about it that was just unexpected for me, Ty, and to hear folks speaking in their native language with the subtitles, I don't know. It's I don't know why I thought there would be more English in that part of it, maybe because I'm Americanized. But really what it reminded me of a lot was the first time I saw Dances with Wolves. And whatever people think about Kevin Costner, he was very deliberate in making sure that the native language was on spoken and English subtitles. And to hear that authenticity on the Japanese side, that meant something to me.
Yeah, I think it's their native language, and their the best way that they can passionately speak about it is in their native language. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, but it's wonderful hearing them speak in Japanese, but then seeing the subtitles, and there's so many great moments that I think the subtitles work so well because they're so eloquently talking about things, and you get to see it right there on screen. It's beautiful.
The other part about it was some of your closest friends and family. And was it your wife or your buddy's wife who was like, okay, I'm bringing three people over, and then it kind of grew. And it's just like—
That was my buddy's wife.
Yeah. And it's just like—
That was hilarious.
Okay, we're going to roll with this. I mean, that was great.
Yeah, it started as three. Then it was almost 30. And they all rolled with it. And, you know, I heard somebody else describe it as like, it sounded like a foreign exchange program. Putting them in homes and homestays and
right.
Yeah. But I also think it, like, as Wisconsinites, we're really proud, but I also think that the movie, whether or not you even like football, there's just a really beautiful human element of it. It's people connecting around, you know, any type of passion and then building these deep relationships. And I think that's why the film can speak to more than just Packer fans or people from Wisconsin. And that's why I'm hoping more people come out and see it.
That's a great point, because there's not a lot of quote-unquote football footage in this. It really is focused more on the human element of the movie and these relationships and how they grow. And, you know, people come from another country. It's like, what are we getting into here? And the amount of trust, right? The trust from the Japanese cheer team and the trust from your friends and family to welcome them in. And it's all bound together by, it just happens to be, this team in green and gold.
Yeah, and you know, for them, that trust, that was a huge leap. From a Japanese perspective, the details were so vague. I mean, they say that in the movie. They plan so much. If you send details a week before you're getting together with people, that is like last minute for them. So the fact that we didn't have an itinerary for them and they were getting on an airplane and just arriving, they really had to just offer themselves up to fate. But as they've all said at this point, it was the best decision they've ever made. So
I think it's great. I really hope people get out and see it. Again, if you want to join Ty and Craig at Green Bay tonight, go to nopackersnolife.com. A handful of tickets left for the event tonight to meet the director and producer and star of the film. And then also here in Madison tomorrow at the High Point Cinema, one of the great Marcus theaters, also nopackersnolife.com. And you can buy your tickets for the statewide release and also in Gurnee, Illinois at MarcusTheaters.com. Again, MarcusTheaters.com. Ty Morse, thank you very much. Safe travels up to Green Bay tonight. Thank you very much for all of your association with us and allowing us to be there at that world premiere. I hope the film does smashingly. Everybody should see it. It is quintessential Wisconsin.
Thanks, Todd. You guys have been so awesome. Really appreciate your support. It's meant a lot to us.
Well, we the honor has been ours. And safe travels up to Green Bay. And as they say, go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go. Take care, guys.
See you later. Bye-bye. Ty Morse, everybody. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Take your phone calls and more. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now, past the hour of 3 o'clock on a Friday, October 17th, 2025. This just hit me, by the way. I believe it's our friend and ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry, Jerry Perry's birthday today.
Really?
I forgot. Jeff. I kept thinking the 17th of October. What is the 17th of October? And I believe it's Jeff Perry's birthday today.
Well, big if true.
Big if true. Happy birthday, Jeffrey, over there on WVMO. Thank you. There's something wrong with me. I'll describe it later. All right, very quickly, let's go to the phone lines, talk a little bit more about this great new film, No Packers, No Life. Still a few tickets for the screening tonight in Green Bay. Your chance to see the listen to the filmmakers, Craig Benzine, director, and Ty Morris, producer, star. You can find those tickets at nopackersnolife.com. Also, a screening tomorrow at High Point Cinema here in Madison. NoPackersNoLife.com. Anna in La Crosse, listening in.
Or Rita in La Crosse. You mix the two.
Oh, I do that. I do that frequently. Sorry, but Rita in La Crosse. I apologize. Anna's next. Rita in La Crosse, tuning in our great station up there. Rita, you saw the film?
We just left the theater. We brought our grandson with us, Steve and I did, and I loved it. I loved it. I heard about it on your radio station because we listen all the time.
Well, thank
and
you.
It was so good.
It was good. Yeah, it did your heart good to see that.
Yeah.
The camaraderie between the Japanese people and they all loved the Packers. It was a great movie.
And just,
everybody loved it in the where we were.
All we need is love, boy.
That's amazing.
And tomorrow we're going to go to the No Kings Parade.
Oh, great.
March.
Yeah,
March. March, yeah.
Whatever it is. We're going to be marching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good
so
for you guys.
I really enjoy your station, and thanks for telling us about that. I think we're probably going to go back and see it again. That's how much we liked it.
Well, thank you for your listenership, Rita. You guys, it means the world to us up there in beautiful La Crosse. And you guys have a great weekend. I think you're right. I mean, Zomers and I saw just a bit outside several times, and you see something new every time, right?
Yeah,
we went to see that, too, after you guys told us about it.
Well, we try to pass along good information. Well, you guys have a great weekend, all right? Thank you very much for listening to us up there at WLCX, the Eagle, up on La Crosse on 1490 AM, WLCX. Now let's go to Anna here on WMDX in Madison. Anna, thanks for calling. You saw the movie as well?
I, too, just saw it this afternoon at the Palace in Sun Prairie and loved it. There were several times where I got teary-eyed, and especially when one of them met Mason Crosby in person.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it?
They cheered up, and when they were with their Super Bowl rings getting pictures.
Yeah, it's really
and
cool.
And when they first got to Green Bay and at night, they took them to see, Lambeau Field and, and how they got so excited.
Yeah, it's a special film, Anna. I'm so glad you saw it. Thank you for going and seeing it. And thank you for taking the time to call in and tell us about it. And thanks for listening to us on WMDX. It really means a lot. I appreciate your listenership, Anna.
I listened to you for a long time. You have a great show.
Well, thank you. It's very kind of you. And you have a great weekend out there in Sun Prairie, all right?
Okay, you too. Bye
all right,
now.
Thank you. That's Anna on WMDX. Well, there you go, Zomers. I hope that Ty was still listening. Two unsolicited viewers, three actually, I guess, total. And there you go. People going out and seeing the film in the wild, and the reviews are in.
And they're right. That's just what it's like. It's such pure Wisconsin sports joy from all around the world. It's a beautiful movie.
Yeah, it really, really is. All right, it's 27 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. So what do we do? We don't really have time for a what's worse.
Yeah, how about just the fun fact?
All right, Barrett, time once again for our new segment, Wisconsin Fun Fact.
Oh, Wisconsin.
Welcome, time once again for another Wisconsin Fun Fact. All right, that's the official state ballot, by the way. Time for another Wisconsin Fun Fact. It's a brand new segment. We're still working on it, you understand. And it probably should have been at the top of the hour, but we had a lot of other things we had to do. So here now, we're going to give you one of these every day. Wisconsin Fun Fact for October 17th. On October 17th in 1908, the catastrophic Peshtigo Fire reignited again. which reminds me of a 2016 presidential political blaze that reignited again this year because Democrats couldn't put a campfire out right now. You see the correlation. You know, the Peshtigo fire reignited, and now you got Trump reigniting, and the Democrats couldn't put him out. Couldn't put the campfire out.
What a time.
In Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
You can't buy loyalty like that.
Sorry, I was trying to find a good spot in the song to bring in.
All right, this might be a short-lived segment. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, that needs to be workshopped a little bit. But that was another edition of Wisconsin Fun Fact. All right, we're going to come back. It's been much too long since we've talked to our friend Peter Rapine from EPOM's World. Been a heavy news week. Lots going on. Going to be a heavy weekend. Lots going on. We need to laugh a little bit, folks. Need to laugh. Nothing wrong with that. So we're going to come back, and I will tell you the quick version. I went to the doctor right before the show because my glands were swollen. What do you call it? Underneath your chin here, there's a word for it.
I'll find it.
I'll explain what happened and why this could only happen to me on the other side, and we'll talk week in review, a humorous edition with Peter Rapine. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball edition for a Friday. Thank goodness on the Civic Media Radio. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock. A little gypsy music. I will tell you why that's important. But first, we welcome in our friend, our ongoing contributor, the one, the only, the international man of mystery and comedy, Peter Rapine. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing great, Todd. It's been a while.
Much too long. Missed you, too. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World, and we're going to get into a humorous look at the week in review in just a moment. But, Peter, it turns out, and we haven't told each other these stories, but apparently we both have doctor stories. So I told at the top that we had some serious news we had to take care of. I haven't been feeling the best this week. What are the gland called again?
The lymph nodes.
Thank you. My lymph node on my left hand side is all swollen up. Not the back of my throat, but the side of my throat has been like weird. It's been weird. So I thought my voice has been going. Which is radio. That's no good. So I finally went to I couldn't see my regular doctor. So I saw a very nice guy, and he examined me and everything. And he says I think it's a salivary gland stone. I have a Peter, I already have kidney stones. Now I have salivary gland stones.
I didn't know that could happen.
I have stones in my kidneys and stones in my neck and my salivary glands. I don't even have time to get stoned. I mean, please. I certainly don't have gold stones. So I said to him, what causes salivary gland stones? And he looks at me quizzically and he says, boy, bad luck. He said, and a full bird MD tells me the cause of my salivary stones are bad luck. And I said, well, what can I do? Medication? No. He goes, you know what I recommend? He goes, get some lemon heads and suck on those. So this is my this is my medication. Lemon head ropes from CVS. I haven't even tried
these. That's actually not too bad.
Have you had those? Have these before? I'm not a big...
No, but as far as treatments go, just suck on some candy and it is.
Right? Oh.
Could be worse.
This is real. This is real. He goes, I'm going to take a culture just to make sure you don't have like strep throat or something. Mm-hmm. So two big Q-tips. Puts them down. And he takes them out. He goes, wow, that's really impressive. You don't have much of a gag reflex.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to say, well, I guess practice makes perfect, but you know. So, Peter, how have you been feeling?
I've been good. Honestly, I walked by a city MD the other day, and I saw a sign for the, flu shots, and I know this is the season. So I'm feeling good, but I think I'm going to get ahead of the cold season, get my flu shot, maybe get a booster, make sure I don't get sick this winter. Because I never get one. I always get sick for like 2 weeks, and it sucks. So hopefully this year I get ahead.
Well, that's good. So did you go to the doctor then or what?
No, I haven't done it yet. It was just thought I had.
you haven't Next gotten week, the maybe. Flu shot.
Yeah, yet. I haven't gotten the flu shot yet, but it's on my list of things to do.
So you anticipate that you will get a flu shot.
Yeah.
But well, half of this battle, Peter, is just saying, okay, I'm gonna do it this year.
Exactly. Yeah, last year I didn't do it and I was sick all of Halloween, and Halloween's one of my favorite holidays, so I don't want to miss out.
Really? Are you a partier at Halloween, yeah, or do you?
Yeah, I love to put on a good costume. I love to go out and dance, and Halloween's kind of the best. It's the best party holiday there is, I think.
Yeah, it's a good time to have by all.
But all right. Funny that you have a doctor story, because I also have a really good doctor headline for us.
All right, here we go. Here's why he's here. Every other week, you can find all these at ebombsworld.com. Real headlines of real people, Peter.
Yes. Headline reads, brain surgeon arrested after letting her 12-year-old daughter drill into a patient's skull.
A brain surgeon arrested after letting her daughter drill into a patient's skull. Do tell.
Which, this doctor is clearly winning as a parent, but they are not winning as a medical practitioner. the accusation is that a neurosurgeon in Austria allowed their daughter to man the drill during a surgery on a patient, which I guess you're not supposed to do. That breaks all the medical codes, all the medical do's and don'ts. But imagine how much fun that 12-year-old had going into work with her mom. And then
take your daughter to work day.
Yeah, and bore a hole in some poor guy's skull.
Wow.
Yeah, so the doctor was fired. And I'm not sure.
So if the doctor, have been so charged. The doctor was fired.
Yeah, and arrested.
And arrested, really?
So, luckily, your doctor, you know, wasn't that bad.
No, the doctor considered. Was not drilling into my skull. He was very, very nice. Very nice. He introduced. He took a lot of time, asked me questions. So, you know, all that's really good. It's just that, yeah, I have stones in my salivary glands.
All right, Peter.
All right, Peter Rapine. Next headline.
This comes to us from the world of politics. All right. Headline reads: New York County is trying to elect a candidate who disappeared at sea.
Trying to find a candidate disappeared at sea. Do tell.
No. New York County, they're trying to elect a candidate.
Oh, elect. I'm sorry. I don't know what's happening because I don't have the headlines in front of me this week. So I'm just going off of what you said, which is fine, but go ahead. No, it's fine. It's fine. I thought I'm trying to do it by memory.
They have been sent to you.
Zomer sent them to me. I've got kidney stones. I've got salivary stones. Just go ahead. It's totally on me.
So yeah, a 29-year-old named Petros, I think I'm saying this right? Comitas, went out for a swim in the ocean in the springtime and sadly never returned. the only thing is that this guy is on the ballot for a upcoming election. However, since he is still technically missing and not deceased, he can't be taken off the ballot. So the New York County is hoping that as the Democrat running on their ticket, that people still vote for him, which allows them to hold a special election afterwards.
That's fascinating. So a dead guy could actually get elected.
Yeah, technically not dead yet, but missing. But you would assume
dead yet.
If he's been, you know, lost at sea for months now, the likelihood that he is alive is
it could be like that Tom Hanks film, Wilson.
Castaway.
What if he comes back and he's like, hey, I got elected?
Yeah, he's like, I won. Great. Right. I've also been out in the Atlantic for months.
All right. Now I have for some reason, now my email is working and I have the headline. So please, Peter, get all these headlines at ebombsworld.com. Peter Rapine, next headline.
So this next one is an investigation into Raising Cane's. The
chicken place.
Restaurant, the chicken place.
It's big with the kids.
Yeah, I assume there are ads everywhere. And the chicken's supposed to be pretty good. I've never had it, but I assume it's good.
Pretty good. I've had it.
I'm a fan.
But some context. A photo of a bucket of chicken went viral on Twitter this week. And the claim is that Raising Cane's has throwaway chicken tenders that if you ask politely, they will just give you. And these chicken tenders are ones that might have been ugly, might have been, you know, not up to their standard to serve customers. So we did a little investigation, and the headline reads, does Raising Cane's have a weird chicken bucket?
Does Raising Cane's
have weird chicken bucket?
Have a weird chicken bucket. This is great. This is one of the best headlines you've ever brought to us, because it's news you can use. Please, dear God, tell me it's correct. Tell me this is correct.
Yeah, so they do. Yes. They do have a weird bucket of chicken that they keep under their counter. Or somewhere in their kitchen with discarded chicken tenders. However, from people who have worked at Raising Cane's, you do not want to eat these chicken tenders.
Why?
Yeah, because garbage gets in there. It's not very sanitary. It's just a big plastic 3-gallon, 4-gallon bucket filled with the throwaways. So
why do they put them in the garbage though?
I think they probably wait until the end of the day to do it. It seems like it's just to keep the line moving, to keep things going. Yeah, there's a photo
on Epom's World. There is a. If I just scroll down, I'm sorry, Peter. I'm trying to get over salivary gland stones right now. I apologize. It might be better for this segment if I was stoned, but sadly no. Well, then I see the photo now. And it does look kind of nasty.
Yeah. Well, sadly, if you've ever worked in a kitchen, you know there are like food safety standards, and food that's been sitting out at room temperature for more than, I think, 4 hours needs to be discarded. Can't be served to anybody because bacteria can grow on it. So the bucket probably, while contains a bunch of free chicken, also contains a bunch of deadly bacteria that you shouldn't eat.
Yes, please. But it's fantastic that you found out, and nice work, that it does exist.
It does exist, yeah.
Like you kind of, like, low-key could be like, if you know somebody, hey, did you just put one of those ugly chicken things in there? Like, yeah. If it's still warm, like, yeah. I'm good.
Yeah, can I have the one on the top, please?
Right. Yeah. All right, next headline from Epom's World, our humorous week in review.
The next headline comes to us from the airline industry. Headline reads... Airline industry now saying that fixing its planes would cost too much money.
Airline industry now saying that fixing its planes could cost too much money. As if people aren't anxious enough about flying.
Yeah. Seriously. The Federal Aviation Administration basically ruled that it would cost them too much to go through their entire fleet of Boeing 737s and other planes and fix all the little minor dings and dents that they accumulate over their lifespan, which isn't really something that you want to hear as a traveler.
I don't think I do.
No.
Like you don't want to know, this 737, I mean, it was in for a bad latch of that rear door about 3 times last month. I don't want to know that.
Yeah. I guess the airlines, they can either spend their money on those cheap little cookies that they give us, or they can spend the money on fixing the planes.
But I love those cheap cookies. The biscuits, or whatever the hell you call them.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though,
I'd rather have the pretzels.
Yeah, those are good, too. The mini
pretzels. If you die in a plane crash, you can't have the cookies or the pretzels.
But I'll be happy going down. I'll have a full stomach. I'll be happy.
Yeah, maybe you could get some lemon heads.
That's exactly what I need right now, some lemon heads. All right, well, so the moral is don't ask, don't tell. Just get on the plane, have an extra gin and tonic, and enjoy the flight.
Yeah, get on the plane, say a prayer,
yep,
and just hope you land. Yeah.
I always do. Actually, I do say a quick prayer before we take off.
When I was younger, I wasn't really afraid of flying. And, you know, I've been flying more recently.
Yes.
And I don't mind the being in the air, but I really hate the takeoff. The takeoff is, I think, the scariest part for me, because there's a little like back and forth. You turn. Flying, being up there, landing, totally fine. But I'd rather not be awake for.
You ever been one of those, like the turbulence is just, I mean, you're just like going really bad?
Yeah.
Those aren't particularly fun.
No. They're not fun.
All right. Next. We got a minute left here. Let's hold on. Let's hold on. We'll come back and do more headlines of Peter Rapine. Very quickly, relationship's going okay? Everything fine?
Yeah. I'm picking her up from the airport tomorrow morning.
See, this is lovely that Peter is happy. It makes me happy. All right, come on back. More wacky and weird headlines from real people doing weird things. We'll wrap things up for a Friday on the Todd Oswald Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Could listen to this all night. A drink in my hand, a Manhattan bar sitting next to Peter Rapine and his lovely and talented girlfriend just watching love and blossom right there. That sounds like a night, Peter. Right there.
It does.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll make that happen at some point. Peter Rapine is our guest this half hour. He is the managing editor of EPOM's World, news of the weird, wacky, wild, and at times spicy. There's a new spicy section. As well. So check it out at EPOM's World. He comes to us every other week with news, the weird, the wild, the wacky. All right, Peter Rapine, headline, next one.
All right, headline reads, there's actually a scientific reason for why cows love jazz.
There's actually a scientific reason of why cows love jazz. Do tell.
So I don't know if you or Zomers have ever seen it, but there are countless videos of people playing jazz for cows on the internet.
I am not.
I saw a recent report in the BBC this week that there's a farm in the UK that regularly brings a small jazz quintet to their farm to play for their cows. And it turns out that the National Institute of Health actually did a study on what the music leanings or preferences of livestock are. And they found that cows, chickens, and pigs prefer jazz music over rock and roll, heavy metal, pop. And it all comes down to
yes.
the fact that cows specifically have pretty stressful lives. You think about it, you know, they're caged up, things are loud. Also, you know, the whole being raised for food kind of thing probably isn't, you know, very fun. And so why jazz is so popular is because it's smooth and it relaxes them. They caution that you shouldn't, if you're going to play music for your cows or your pigs or your chickens, you want to choose something with a nice slow tempo. You don't want to make sure you don't play it too loudly.
Okay.
Because if you do all that, the cows will love it. And it's pretty proven.
So yeah. Like Miles Davis in the barn. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah. Miles Davis in the barn. Exactly.
Maybe not the fast bebop tunes I was playing earlier, but some thumping chill.
Yeah, well, I think we need to get Farm Director Pam Yonke on this, and I love everything about this, Peter, and the fact that they actually did this and found out what they like. And you're right, cows do have kind of a stress. Yeah. They have four stomachs. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Yeah, is that crazy?
I think it helps them digest all the grass that they eat. But actually, I do have a personal anecdote. I had a friend in college who did a study for a class of his where he played music for animals, and the control group where he played heavy metal to mice, they all sadly passed away.
Really? Wait a minute. They played heavy metal for mice and they all passed away?
Yeah. Yeah. They started like losing their hair and kind of going crazy. So yeah.
This is Fowler. Very quickly, we have a caller, Mike in Spring Green, listening to WRCE. Quickly, Mike, tell us this. This is fantastic. Go ahead, Mike.
I have video proof of cows liking bluegrass music because I went out in the field and played my banjo, and they all came up and checked it out.
Really? You've done this in the wild?
It's on YouTube, so I have proof.
That's fantastic. I appreciate that, Mike. We'll talk about it at greater length later. Have a great weekend out there in Spring Green. There you go, Peter. Live reporting just solidifying your great reporting. That ranks up there one of the better headlines ever. All right, next headline.
Next one is fast food. Arby's is being sued for false advertising because their sandwiches look nothing like the pictures. If you've ever been to Arby's and if you've ever seen an Arby's ad, you know there is a giant gap between what you advertise and what you get. And a judge this week actually ruled that a a class action lawsuit against the brand can go forward because the, you know, what you're being advertised and what you get is so far apart. Part of the lawsuit even notes that Arby's in their photos depicts like medium rare or like rare roast beef when in reality it's fully cooked.
I'm laughing because it's 100% true. It's 100%. You never, when you go to Arby's, it's always like this brownish meat. You know, it's never like the pink, you know, and fluffy layers and everything like that.
It's pretty sad. some of my mom loved Arby's growing up.
Well, I've had nothing against Arby's, but I'm just saying, you're 100% right. The real thing never matches the picture. And wasn't there a Sesame Street bit back in the day of like, you know, that waiter Muppet, you know, and the guy going, that doesn't look like the soup I ordered.
I'm not familiar with it. No.
That's pretty good. All right, go ahead. Next headline.
Next headline reads, this might be one of my favorites. There could be a billion people unaccounted for on Earth.
What? There could be a billion people unaccounted for on Earth. Where the heck are they hiding?
I know, that's what I'm saying. So estimates say currently there's like 8.2 billion people on Earth. But a recent study published in Nature Communications estimates that rural populations get undercounted in censuses. One of the examples they cite is that in 2012, Paraguay had a census that completely missed a quarter of the population. So if you extrapolate this for around the globe, because roughly 40% of the world's population lives in rural areas, and they estimate that these areas are undercounted by 54 to 84%, that there might just be an extra billion people out there that aren't on the record books.
No wonder traffic was so bad coming into work today.
It really was.
Do you have another quick one, or should we end it there?
Quick one. One third of Gen Z singles say they only date for the free meals.
Gen Z only dating for the free meals. They don't care about the whoopee afterwards. They just want the
times
free meals.
Times are tough.
Peter Rapine, you're fantastic. You can find all these stories at E-Bombs World. Zomers, Craig Benzine, Ty Morris, and everybody else, thanks for a great week. Relax, stay safe out there this weekend. Peter, we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging that drum. We'll see you Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.